Well, we're closing out this series called Restful. We've been in it for most of the year, all of this year, and it started several weeks ago with God's presence flowing forth from the temple like a river, leaving from in front of the altar, and God's purpose was to cover the earth with his glory. And his purpose then in Ezekiel 47 is the same as it is right now here, covering the earth with his glory, and he does that through his people. Streams of living water flowing from within those who believe, those who receive. We carry the presence of Christ with us everywhere we go, covering the earth with God's glory. And from that foundational truth, we said that order matters. Presence, salvation, rest, apprentice. God acts first. We receive second, we live differently third, and all of this is at God's initiative, his doing, his pursuing. After that first Sunday, we got into Matthew chapter 11, and we've been camped out there for 4 weeks, adding one verse as we go, starting with verse 27, where Jesus said, "All things have been given to me, and all means all, from the rising of the sun to the setting just the same, from the mission of God, the kingdom therein, and the way we enter in." All things especially refers to salvation, what Christ offers us, his suffering, death, and resurrection. All of this has been entrusted to the Son, who willingly chose to fall in line with God's plan. That's the product of, the fruit of, the intimate communion that is shared between Father and Son, and to anyone the Son chooses to reveal him, the Father, to. And so let me be clear. If you are in the room, if you can hear my voice, the Father is being revealed. Christ is revealing the Father to us here and now, and the real choice is on you and me. This revelation that is given, it is not earned. Right. Nothing we can do to deserve it. It is freely given. Thank you, Jesus. Come to me, all. And we've talked all things. In verse 28, Jesus is talking about all people who are weary and heavy burdened, weary because we're trying to do it all on our own and weren't even created to do it all, carry it all, save anybody on our own. Weary and heavy burdened, tired from working and striving and trying to achieve all of this on our own. And this word, heavy burdened, in Matthew 11, verse 28, it is a verb. You who are weary and burdening, working, come to me, everybody, and I will give you rest. Literally, I will rest you. And that's not a skill that we master, but it's a gift we receive. And it starts with this gift of salvation, one moment in time after time after time. We are saved and being saved, and we call this sanctification. The process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And this gift is being rather than doing. It's not striving. It's realizing that God is God and I am not. And in a word, we're talking about surrender to the leadership of Jesus Christ and our lives. We don't go from 0 to 60 overnight. It's a process, which is why Jesus continued to say in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This yoke is a crossbar, a wooden structure that joins two animals together for work, like plowing a field. And Jesus is inviting us to be yoked to him because the fields are ripe for harvest. And the things that we are yoked to, they're just not working. Yeah. Politics, it isn't working. Self-help, it isn't working. Fill in the blank. Jesus invites us to learn him. And this yoke of Jesus that he offers us, it's shared life with him and with each other. This task of rest is not doing less. It's learning to Live the life of Jesus in the world. That's apprenticeship. It's learning to live life with Jesus. And in verse 30, we get to the task of rest when Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus's yoke is easy to bear and it is easy to wear. Several weeks ago, Doug Baker, lead pastor of this church, preached the same text in the sanctuary, and he said it is a well-fitting yoke. It's unique to the individual believer. It's the Spirit outfitting us, equipping us, and it's shaped by our hearts, abilities, our passions, even the experiences we have position us to be in someone's life and relate to them. We're learning what it means to let Christ be the Lord of our lives, leader of our lives. And as we stay yoked to Jesus, the life that he lives in and through us begins to show up in the world around us. And this is where rest becomes mission. It is not forced. It is not frantic, but it is formed in us and through us over time. Mission is what rest looks like when it leaves the room. Mission is what rest looks like when it leaves your house every day. Mission is what rest looks like when it wakes up every morning. I want to share an eyewitness account from a friend of mine named Kathy, who lives in the Woodlands, that helps us put skin on what this looks like. She said, one day God got her attention as she's out in the neighborhood walking her dog. She comes upon a neighbor who is out as well, and they laugh and they talk, and over a little bit of time, this woman starts to cry. That's because Julie is a 74-year-old retired oil executive who is opinionated, devout Catholic, and she lives alone. This is very small interaction she has one day while out walking. And over the course of conversation, Kathy notices Julie's eyes tearing up, a reflection of being isolated. Almost instinctively, Kathy says, "Why don't we share a meal together soon?" And Julie says instantaneously, "Yes, I'll bring a salad." And as Kathy kept walking, two more neighbors came to mind, Carl and Denise. Carl is an atheist dealing with skin cancer. His wife, Denise, a secular Jewish vegetarian, and Kathy invited them to come to dinner as well. They said yes. Then she invited another couple, Scott and Tyra, neighbors who mostly keep to themselves. They said yes as well. And so it's a warm Thursday evening in the Woodlands, Texas. Seven people, Kathy's husband and their neighbors, they gather around the table, different ages, different jobs, different politics, different beliefs, different diets, and they talk over dinner about music and books and travel and their neighborhood. And while they ate, before they ate, Kathy even prayed a prayer, "Lord, bless this food and let love be felt around this table." And during the meal, Julie commented on how meaningful it was to share dinner and conversation with human people, human beings. And Carl talked about his years traveling Europe in the military so long ago, and he even counted it a blessing. At one point, there was hard conversation that surfaced about politics. And Kathy said, "Why don't we just change the subject?" And everybody agreed. And at the end of the night, they stood in the driveway, it was after 10 p.m., remarking about how meaningful this was, "Let's do it again." And they did it again. And Kathy wrote in her journal, "My prayer is that each of us experience revelation, forgiveness, and love from God because of our time at the table and then some, that we experience revelation, forgiveness, and love for God." And Kathy invited people to her table without any agenda whatsoever. No agenda. John Tyson gives language to what this looks like. Influencing culture through redemptive participation. Influencing our spheres of influence through redemptive participation. And sometimes I think that we think we've got to win people into the kingdom by winning the argument, or correcting theology, or stinking thinking of any kind. Because if I don't do it, no one's ever going to get it right. And that is one extreme. And I think the other extreme is that we don't have a missional bone in our body. We accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and have just left it all right there. And we think about Jesus being Lord and Savior. It's not either or. It's both and. He has saved me, is saving me, and is leading my life. And yet, I think we just are keeping it right here. Jesus is my Savior. And that's the other extreme. And somewhere in between these two extremes, we are called to exert influence over culture through redemptive participation. And we talk often about faithful presence, and rightly so, that we may be the faithful presence of God's love in all of the places that we go. But I think it's a little bit more than faithful presence. It's fruitful participation, where we are paying attention to what God is doing because he's inviting us to step into that and join him in his work. Salt and light, they do not shout. They don't win any arguments. They're not putting their politics on Facebook. They are changing this world because that's what they do. Salt and light change the environment simply by being what they are. And when we see this world like that, rest leads to mission. It changes how we understand why we're even here in the first place. When that's the lens by which we live this world, the purpose behind the living of our lives, we will show up differently, day in, day out. Mission is not something we add to rest. Mission is something that rest produces. It's hardwired within us. That's why it is a well-fitting yoke. Jesus's yoke is shared life with him, with each other. And the burden that Jesus gives, and sometimes we think of it as a burden, so impositioning us. This burden is light. It is easy to bear and endure. And this burden that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 11, verse 30, it is a noun, not a verb like in 28 when we're trying to do all the burdening. Jesus is inviting us to give up our verbs and receive his noun, this well-fitting yoke that is light and easy. Rest does not remove me from the world. It sends me back into it differently. And here's the deal about this imposition, the giving of this well-fitting yoke, burden that is light. Our God, this Jesus who is God with skin on, Matthew says he is a gentle man. Lowly in heart, he is humble. And he is peaceful, peace-giving. He'll never force himself into our lives. Never force himself upon us. He invites us to respond. Why is it that this rest seems so foreign to us? I think it could be in a word, surrender to his leadership in our lives. Mission is what happens when we surrender, when a rested life yoked to Christ shows up where God is already at work. He's gone before us. He's waiting on us. And that's what we've been talking about all along core worship. We are rooted, restful, relational. We are rooted in Christ, in His church, in Christian community. This is where life begins. We are restful in receiving all of this that we cannot produce on our own strength. Salvation, chief among them all. These are gifts that lead us to apprenticeship, and that's how life is received, like a gift. And we are relational. Life with God and each other on behalf of the world. And this is where life goes when it leaves the room. And some of you will be invited to a table. Some of you will be invited to listen twice as much as you speak. Some of you will be invited to just pay attention, because there could be a response coming. And all of us are invited into this. All of us are invited to receive this gift of salvation, of rest. And I hope that we are a people who embody, who live really deeply Matthew 11, verses 27 through 30. So this week I want to ask you to think about your life, and I want to invite you to reflect on what it looks like for your life to be yoked together with Christ. What does it look like to be yoked to Christ? And then also think about, where might Jesus be going ahead of you, inviting you into fruitful participation? That's the invitation. Fruitful participation. Lord God, I pray that our salvation, this gift that you have given us, that it would not terminate on us. Lord, save us from ourselves. Heighten our awareness to what you are doing in us, through us, around us. And help us to live all of life apprentice to you, yoked to you, from this place of deep rest. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.